again, this comes right out of my, you know, I'm catapulting right out of my 2 days with Gary Cox, which is all day Saturday and Sunday, and it was an awesome seminar. I really enjoyed it and enjoyed meeting lots of new people who I never would have met without this experience. So what a joy that was. Let's talk about what he talked about things, and these are things that a lot of us don't think about, so I want you to think about it, focus on it, and hopefully utilize this information to move you forward as well. I'm not here recommending you go to Gary Cox's seminars by any means. I'm just suggesting this was invaluable information. It kind of grabbed onto my heart in an incredible way, and that's what I was looking for to share with you. I wanted to find something that might be new for a lot of you. And he talked about, you know, two things that cause us to succeed: belief. And the magic of believing, you know, as you think, you know, all these kind of things. We have all these books out there about belief, and there's no question there's a magic behind believing. If you don't believe it, you'll never realize it. But it takes more than belief. He said the second thing is value. In other words, belief isn't everything. So you must have value, a level of importance you put on something. So a lot of you can believe something. Let's say, for instance, you're doing the Manatech business. You might believe in yourself being able to do it, but if you don't value it high enough, then guess what? You're not going to do it, because your value has to be high enough for you and your belief high enough for you to succeed. Both things have to be there. And he said when you're evaluating your value system, there are two real types of values. There's the ones that help us move us forward. Like for me, my top three values, I think, you know, many of you have heard me say this before because I went through an intensive value exercise, which I love doing. And my three core values, my number one core value is contribution. Number one. It came out of that exercise, number one. You know, my second one is trust, and my third one is commitment. Those are my three top values. So those are the kind of values, contribution, which really move me forward, and a lot of you see that. I mean, I do Monday calls every week. I do the Saturday trainings. I'm in charge of those at Manatech. I show up for Tuesday Night Live. I don't get compensated for any of and all of this energy and effort that I put forth, but it's not about Mary Jo. It's about contribution. How can I contribute to help everyone be the best they can be? That's my, you know, that drives me. And that's just me. I'm not soliciting people to take on my values. You have to discover yours. You got to discover your core values and have some clarity around those. So, and those are things that move you forward. And then there's things out there that people value that you try to avoid. Like some people put a tremendous amount of value around accumulating lots of money. Well, I don't chase money. So that to me is not a value. You follow me? So it's not one of my core values. It's not chasing money. I believe if I chase my heart and my passion, money will always follow me. Does that make sense? So it's not ever about greed or, you know, that's not, but, you know, there's other values out there that we try to avoid because they're not consistent with who we are. Right? And so so you have to look at both ways. You can't always say all values are good. Wrong. That's not true either. All values are, because values are what you value. And that doesn't mean they're all good. But the important part of this exercise is to find what are your most important ones. What are the values? You know, what do you value most in your life? That's what's important for you to discover and be on that journey. And then focus on those and allow those to lead you and direct you in your life. Why you behave the way you behave. We really, as human beings, are a sum total of all of our experiences. Now, an important thing to recognize, which was new to me over this weekend, was the idea that, you know, when we first are born and all of our experiences until we're, you know, our brain starts really being cognitively really functional in terms of analytical and assessing and all those kind of things. In our first few years as a little baby and as a little toddler, we are just what? Everything that happens to us is like sets us up for reactions. So when we get scared of something, guess what we store? You know, we get scared of a dog, guess what happens? Dogs are bad. Okay, we start creating our value system based on our emotional experiences. Because we respond when we're little itty bitty guys. We're all about emotions, so we're not cognitively advanced to assess and do all those other things. We don't distinguish real fear and not. We don't analyze our environment. We don't consciously do this. So what happens is we become programmed by our emotions, right? Our emotions are programming us. And we're developing all this internally just naturally because that's our age. Now when we experience something like that, our same emotion, a dog comes along at 8, and what happens to us? We get fearful because we don't want to respond. Here's what's going on. Our emotions are triggered, and rather than saying to ourselves, oh, I'm not going to pay attention to our emotions, because then we become a liar, and we don't want to be a liar because we're lying about our responsiveness, and our response is tied directly to our emotions. So instead of being a liar, we respond the same way. So it starts controlling us, our interaction with dogs. I'm just using this as an example. There are thousands of them that occur, but this is just one that can be obvious to you. So we're afraid of dogs, right? So what he's saying is we've wired our brain like this, and we have these emotional responses to things that are controlling us because of things that happened to us maybe in our first 5 years of life, or maybe happened as even afterwards, because we've learned to allow our emotions to control our beingness. Our emotions, and he calls them emotionally impacted decisions. And he says, today is the day, and for the rest of your life, that we start consciously rewiring our brain instead of unconsciously allowing our brains to be wired by things that have happened to us from an emotional perspective. So then he calls the decisions that we're making in our daily life emotionally impacted decisions, EIDs, emotionally impacted decisions. EIDs. You know, we're triggering behavior based on prior emotionally impacted decisions that control us as we go forward. So when we have a tragedy, behavior results from a tragedy. So we're emotionally impacted from that tragedy. How do we change us? How do we not allow negative emotions to impact us in such a way? And he says it takes value and belief. Value and belief. So we've got to start evaluating, why do I react that way? So if you see yourself in your life, just be really, play Sherlock Holmes with your life and see how this is impacting you. And when you say, wow, why do I react that way? Instead of just accepting it as a norm and saying, well, that's me, well, does it have to be me? And how many times do I hear people say to me, well, Mary Jo, that's just who I am. And I go, whoa, that's just who I am. There's your first red flag, and saying, instead of saying that's just who I am, if it's not serving you, if it's not giving you the freedom and the direction to have the success in your life, then it's not you. Don't choose it. You can choose out of it. This is about the consciousness, right? Consciously rewiring that brain. Some people just look and they go, well, that's my first 5 years of my life, or my first 10 years, that's what formulated me, that made me who I am. And I go, you can choose differently. You guys getting this? These are choices we can make. Are they hard to make? Absolutely. If you don't have the tool to move yourself forward, they're very hard to make, because we just go to the fallback position of, that's just who I am. That's how I was raised. That's who I am. So how do we get away? We need to get away from allowing negative emotions that are past to control us. Our value and beliefs are what's going to replace that. So you want to look at, is, am I making a decision from my belief system and from my value system versus my emotional decision? So let's start with values. Every one of us has values, right? And most of our values come from faith, friends, finances, family. You know, you can look at the F's, right? I mean, they're based in those categories. But we need to select that. And I do a value exercise. I tell people, you can type in, a list of values. And because, when you look at our newspapers, do our newspapers focus on positive values or negative values every day? Negative. What's newsworthy? When people get shot and killed, that's newsworthy. We don't see the front page of our newspaper being about contribution and the Peace Corps and, M5M and all the beautiful things that are happening. Those things are like kind of behind the scene in our world because, why? They don't capture people's attention. They're not emotionally, effective with people because we don't get over emotive. But when we see killings and slaughters I read the paper after I on Sunday night, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is exactly what he talked about. we're fed this stuff, so it's almost like our society is draining us back into the swamp of this, allowing those negative emotions to control us instead of positive, instead of uplifting, instead of, you know, and we're even seeing this, you know, I started thinking about it. I say we're even seeing it sometimes in our church life today, too, because politics has taken over. And politics is so emotionally charged. In fact, politics and religion are two of the areas where we really have insular thinking, which is what causes us not to move forward in our life. Because the need to be right overwhelms us so incredibly that we out there are out there breaking relationships and ruining relationships with people based on highly charged areas that cause us to have insular thinking. And so we want to be careful of that and careful to align ourselves with a direction that's positive and forward-going and caring and loving and touching and interactive that opens us up to be able to have the impact on people that we care to have. So, and when we don't get our values, when we don't set our values in such a way, what happens is the world's, you know, we want to make the world rotate around us and we stop our world when we're not, we don't have clarity on our values. And we can't make the world go round and round if we're not really focused on our core values. So three kinds of values that we have, we are what we say they are. Okay, so any of you can claim your values. And just like I claim mine, top three values is contribution, trust, and commitment. I can claim those, but are they really me? And then we go, well, what should my values? Now we get it, well, I should be more like this, or I should be like this, or I should be like this. And a lot of those should-haves comes out of your faith area and, you know, people trying to tell you what you should do, right? But then there's the fact of what are they really? What really are my core values? And that's why we do value exercises to determine that. And that's why I send you to look at a list of values and try to take 10 off that list of 470 or whatever it is. You're going to find it on the internet and Google it and find your most critical. And it's a painful exercise, but that's good because you want to have clarity. Clarity is the start of everything in your life is having clarity. If you don't have clarity, right, if you don't have clarity, you're not going to go anywhere. And we know Tony Jerry's book gave us that emphasis in a huge way, as do most of your motivational speakers out there, is have clarity. Otherwise, you'll live in confusion, and that's not a place you want to be in. So figure out what they really are. It's in, and look at your activity and what you really feel most, you know, what makes you have the greatest joy in life. And that's what you start looking at and evaluating when you do that. So, and if you feel, if you're standing there today and you feel conflicted, whether it's about your Manatech business or going out and sharing with other people or talking to people, or you feel unfulfilled in your life, oh, I've been doing Manatech for 10 years and it's not working for me, and I feel, I'm going to say that, and this is what Gary suggests, that your values are not clear for you. You're at a crossroads. And staying in a place of conflict or unfulfilled or crossroads is not serving you or serving the world at large. So in order to take action and to do actively and be consistent with your action, you really need clarity, again, on your values. And two things happen when you move through life when it comes to our values. This is really important, big stuff. So when you are really clear, like take, and I just point back at Mary Jo, clear, and do I get messed up from time to time? Hey, definitely I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But my clarity of contribution absolutely energizes me. Over the weekend, I was massively energized on contribution. I knew I was in that seminar for, number one, to learn, okay? But number two, I was really there to support other people. I was there to support other people. And support them in breaking through some of the things that they were working on, because I had so much of this training, I was in a better, not displacing Gary Cox by any stretch of the imagination, in fact, honoring him throughout the whole weekend. But the idea of how could I be somebody, a voice in the wilderness for some of these people, and that's really what I did. So your values energize you, or your values will desensitize you. You'll be desensitized, or you'll desensitize yourself to your values. So when we look at desensitizing comes in, he gave examples of like Jeffrey Dahmer, you know, the guy that cut up all the bodies and stored them in a freezer in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, that came near and dear to me because that's where I was born and raised. And then there's the guy in Florida that just went in with his gun and shot down all the kids. Well, some of you may not have realized, but if you look back at both of these people, and he didn't bring up the Florida guy, I just related to it. He talked about Jeffrey Dahmer. But both of these characters became desensitized to their values. And how did they desensitize? They started going out by taking their guns and they started shooting animals. Both of them had the same pattern of behavior. Fascinating, isn't it? So what did, they couldn't have gone in and just started killing people from where they were in their life. They took the steps of what? Going out and starting to kill animals. And all of a sudden that desensitized them to any value of human life. Because if they could readily kill animals, what was the next step? They could readily go out and kill people. Weird, isn't it? And he started talking about how do alcoholics become an alcoholic? You don't stand up one day and say, I'm going to be an alcoholic. We have one drink at a time. You have one drink, and then you have a second, and then a week later you're drinking two or three drinks every night, and then all of a sudden you're going through a whole bottle of booze, then you're getting stuck in a bar. And this can happen over a month, 3 months, 6 months, 6 years. But we become desensitized to our value of self-control, because what do we lose when we get drunk? Self-control. We get desensitized to our value of being safe, because when we drink, what happens is we become drunk drivers, right? So all these, it's a desensitization process that eventually creates an alcoholic, right? So you watch how this happens. So that's why we need to always be very clear on our values. Because if you go into that bar and you go, I want a drink, but your clarity tells you, my number one core value is contribution. How can I go into a bar and drink, right? It's not in alignment with my core value. It's not in alignment with who I see myself being. So all of a sudden that, because, and sometimes people, when they go in to have a drink, it's because you're feeling bad about something and you're depressed and you're going, but what's your core value? One of your core values? Is it joy? One of your core values? So if you feed on your depression by going and drinking, you're desensitizing yourself to your core value. Follow me? So we got to look at that. So you don't want to go through a gradual desensitization, because now all of a sudden you become a valueless person. And that's really hard to grapple with in life. Is it a choice? Absolutely. Is it an option? Yeah. But sometimes we do it subconsciously instead of consciously. And that's why if we consciously get up every morning, we review our values, and we work from our set of values every day, you know what? You'll totally change your life. Because you're conscious of them every day. You're conscious of them. You're conscious of what's most important to you in your life. How do we own or use pain to motivate ourselves? Well, sometimes we're out there and we how do I take action when we don't feel like it? And boy, does that hit a home run ball for all of us in network marketing. I know it because it happens to me. If it's happening to me, it's happening to you most likely. And some of you haven't seen success in your manatech business. How many times have you gotten up in the morning and just decided not to do it because you don't feel like it? What's happened to your value? Well, our value is in conflict with our emotional state. Right? You get it? So our value is in conflict with our current emotional state. So what do we tend to do? We tend to make emotionally impacted decisions, EIDs. It's a great little thing. It sounds like a, you know, something that's going to explode as a landmine in a field. EIDs, right? EIDs, emotionally impacted decision. And maybe you use that as an acronym to allow you to be more, you know, present in when you're making an emotionally impacted decision instead of following your values. But again, if you don't understand your most important core values, you're going to have a hard time walking and living by them. So we allow ourselves when we don't feel like it, right? We don't feel like it, we allow that to change the way we do it. So when we use values to access our emotional state, so we create conflict. So we go, okay, I don't feel like doing Manitech. I'll just go out and work a second job in order to, you know, create the income I need. And then there's an ouch. And now you can make a decision based on your values because you've created a conflict, and now you got to go back and look at your values and say, because one of the ways that we avoid our values is we justify action we take instead. We justify. Do you ever see yourself doing that when you're on a day when you get up and you don't feel like doing Manitech and you, well, I can do this over here instead, or I, you know, you justify taking alternative action that doesn't support your goals. So you're allowing emotionally impacted, you're making an emotionally impacted decision because you don't feel like it, you're not in the mood, you're not in this, and then you go off in another direction and we start justifying it. We either say, well, I think this is really going to be better for me to do for my kids today, or I think my husband would like me to get this done, so I'm going to do this, spend the day doing this instead. And when in reality, we know our husband would be a lot happier if our check were twice what it was today, right? Or look what we could provide, or maybe I could hire a house cleaner if I just made an extra $100 a month. And then I wouldn't have to spend all that time doing that. I could spend more time in my Manitech business, right? So you start looking at the trade-off, but we tend to justify actions. Whenever you find yourself trying to justify something, you want to stop. Come up with a, and this isn't from Gary, but come up with a technique. Like whenever you find yourself justifying, take your, you know, your thumb and your forefinger and just pinch yourself somewhere. Cause some pain in your life that triggers you to go back and go, why am I justifying? Why am I doing that? Why am I compromising on my values? And really get a real clear picture that will help you move yourself forward. So, and the next concept was make sure the conditions for experiencing values are not based on other people's actions or experiences. And this we do a lot. We tend to say, well, if my upline does this and this and this, then I'll take action. Or if Manitech, you know, creates this for us, then I'll take action. Well, what are you doing? You're putting your entire life in control of somebody else. In other words, you're handing over control of your life to somebody else. Don't ever do that. Your life is your life. You're in control. And, some of you right now are probably going, well, Mary Jo, I'm not really in control because I have kids and I have a husband and I have this and that's what controls me. No. Step back into why are you viewing it that way? Because you're choosing to view it that way. It's a choice you're making. And I'm not telling you not to be a good parent. Can you be a good parent and be a terrific Manitecher at the same time? Absolutely. Who made that judgment call? You did. Your subconscious is telling you that. All of a sudden, you're justifying why you're not being effective in Manitech. Wow. You notice how our little brain works that way? Woo. Right? Or if I only had an upline like so-and-so, then I'd be more effective. Wow. Whoa. You're justifying your lack of activity. Wow. How many times do we do that? Yeah. And why do we do that? That's like is it normal human response? Well, we don't like to take blame for anything, right? We don't want to get in the blame and shame game. So we create it based on other people's activities. So watch out. When you find yourself wandering down that path, that's a path of no return. It's never going to produce the results in your life that you're looking for. So get out of justification. Get out of putting somebody else's actions or activities as precursors in order for you to take action. Don't give away control of your life. Don't give away control of your Manitech business. Because for a lot of you, it's the perfect vehicle. It's why you chose it. Perfect vehicle. Now, does that mean everything around it is perfect? No. But it's a perfect vehicle. It gives you the freedom to stay at home. It gives you the flexibility of earning a lot of outside income. It gives you phenomenal tax advantages. It gives you the freedom of getting products that are off the charts, critical for your health. And it gives you the incredible opportunity to impact every single person's life that's in connection with you anywhere, anyplace, anytime. Ta-da! Wow. That sounds like a pretty awesome business to me, right? So anyway, so what do? We find out in the past which of these feelings are triggered. I mean, which feelings are triggering us? Are emotional pain, rejection, conflict, anger, abandonment, loneliness. These are all these, you know, classic emotions. These are classic things in the past that you will do anything to avoid having to feel. You will do anything to avoid finding them. So look at yourself, emotional pain, rejection, conflict, anger, abandonment, loneliness. Classic set of values that you try to, those, remember we talked about values that we try to avoid? These are kind of the areas that we want to avoid. We want to avoid these things. What we need to do is look at what's triggering them. Focus ourselves on being happier. What brings me joy in my life? And you want to be able to talk, if there's something in your past that you can't talk about without triggering these negative emotions, the rejection, the conflict, the anger, the abandonment, loneliness, then it's still stuck in your emotional hard drive, and it's going to forever hold you back. So what you need to do is grapple with that, and you can do that with help of people around you, help of somebody who's a support system for you. You can even get professional help with it, but I'm not sure they're going to tell you that how to dump it and get rid of it, but that's what you, those are the kind of things that will hold you back. So you can just allow yourself to look at what am I angry about? What is emotional pain? And I'll take an instance for me. You could, and these are all choices we make, all choices. And some people go, Mary Jo, they're not choices. How do you get over it? And I go, I had a 4-year-old grandson that drowned in a swimming pool. Did I have a choice? Did I have a choice? How that could have impacted me. My brother was shot and killed by his wife. Did I have a choice? Yeah. I mean, we make choices around these things. I chose to step in and be responsible and be committed. And make it the most incredible contribution I could make at those times in my life. Because it wasn't about me being, was I unhappy? Was I emotionally distressed? Yeah. But I didn't go make emotionally impacted decisions. I didn't go out there and do things crazy and let it rob me of life. I allowed my number one core value of contribution to step in. And I grabbed onto those kids, my brother's kids, and I brought them to my house. And I raised them and sent them off to college. And now they're the most incredible kids. And at 14 and 16, if you lost both your parents, which way could your life go? Two distinct ways. But it's a clear act of I can grieve for whatever it needs to be, but I can't allow that emotion to make decisions for me. I need to go, you know what? What can I do about it today? And that's how I look at life. I can't change what happened. What can I do about it today? And here's another intriguing question, too. People go, well, why did she do it? Or what caused her to do it? Because they were both Christians. They went to Bible college together, blah, blah, blah. And I go, what does it matter? It's never mattered to me. I've been around her now a number of times because she's out of prison now, 18 years later, and she's now living within 30 minutes of my house, okay? And I was, in fact, I just saw her last weekend. I mean, I went out to dinner with her. I went to church. We did a lot of things. So, and people go, well, number one, how can you do that? I said, because forgiveness is one of my core values as well. And they go, well, why don't you ask her why she did it? Why aren't you asking? I go, here's the answer. If you want to know why, if some of you are sitting in your life right now wondering why a husband mistreated you, your husband you divorced, or why somebody abandoned you, or why did my child do this to me, or why? And then ask the question like this. Is there an answer to that question that's ever going to satisfy you? Is there an answer that my sister-in-law could give me that would satisfy me or bring me anything that I need to know for me to live, carry on my life in a direction? We pursue why to things when really there is no answer that's ever going to satisfy us or bring us. But we hang on to, I need to know why, or I need, you get this? It's really crazy. That was another great part of his thing. And I was kind of giggling because my people have asked me that all the time. Well, why don't you ask her why she did it? And I go, because it doesn't matter. It's not going to bring me any greater sense of comfort around my brother's death, is it? Because he was like, for me, it was like Jesus walking on earth. So I didn't need to know that. I didn't need to pursue things that were never going to give me any resolution on it. And I don't need that because I've already come to forgiveness. So So it's not a resolution. It doesn't, when you search for it, you're already always going to be unresolved yourself because you're choosing that, when you can choose not to allow that to control your life, right? So choices we make. So it's really critical. I'm sorry, I went off on a tangent on that, but it's, you've got to look at what are things in your life that, in your past, that are carrying forward negative emotions, and you've got to resolve those. Because if you don't have emotional freedom, guess what's going to happen? You're going to make emotionally impacted decisions, EIDs, and EIDs are going to run your life, and EIDs are going to control you, and you're going to have this conflict that's going to consistently be in your life. And the funny part of it is you don't even know it, but you're choosing it. So let go. So we design our life to make the experience your highest values more often. We create rules that we've hardwired in our brain. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, well, good. I heard the bells ring. I thought, oh, my gosh, am I done with my time? But I still have 15 minutes. Good. Design your life to make you experience your highest values more often. That's the goal. So what does Mary Jo do? My highest value is number one's contribution. So what do? I set up a charitable foundation. I go and do after-school programs at local schools here in the Grand Prairie area and work with minority kids and just absolutely love that, help them with homework and bring joy in their life. And, you know, and I go on mission trips all the time, and I do all sorts of church programs, outreach programs. I do all these things because, you know what? It feeds my, what, highest value. So that's what brings me greatest joy in life. So we do that because that's what we will bring us. But we need to design our life to allow us to do that, right? Design your life so you experience your highest values more often. That one line in the outline will bring you the greatest fulfillment in your life. Greatest fulfillment. So we've created rules that we've hardwired in our brain, and we need to know how to change the values that we may have allowed to seep into our life, and instead of our real core values. We're allowing external stimuli sometimes to control us. So why do we do that? We're giving other people power. What's giving us? Every one of us gives power to something. So ask yourself today, what is it that I'm giving power to? What is it that I'm giving power to? Because our nervous system, which is fascinating, can't tell the difference between imagination and reality. A story is a story is a story, and all of us carry stories that we bring forward. But it's about, if I can change my story, I can then take back control. And the story isn't, I can't change the fact that my brother was shot and killed by his wife, but I can have my story around it. So it's not about the event, it's about the aftermath and what I can create because of it. What can I find that's beautiful out of a horrific event? How can I create, you know, beauty out of ashes, right? How do I create that? And that's my goal in life, is how do I take something, instead of wallowing in the negative, how do I create something great from it? And now I look at these two college-educated kids who have great jobs that are now, first baby came in, my great nephew. I mean, it's just a beautiful story. So how do I change my story so I don't live in the story of my brother's death? I live in the story of these beautiful kids that are having phenomenal lives and what could have happened to the 14- and 16-year-old losing both parents, right? So you live in, it's a different story. I didn't give power to the murder, to the criminal offense, I didn't give any power to that in my life. It has no power. It has no power. So what is your story? You want to become, whether it's a financial relationships, whatever the story is that you recycles in your brain, whatever story you've got going on, master your story. Become a master of that story. And a lot of people need to rewrite their story. And we heard a lot of that this weekend from people getting on stage. So back to square one. Who influences you most in life? You do. You're the greatest influence in your life. It's what you've put in your brain, what you've fed into your psyche, what you've fed into your subconscious. You are the number one influence in your own life. So you better make sure you know what your recording is. And he put together a 4-page process of changing a belief and value at the same time. Your process changed value and belief at the same time. And this was an incredible process. And I'm going to run through it with you in our last 10 minutes. And you can look at it. And it's because in it, I put it in, it's 4-page, as he called it. So you could actually take 1 page of paper and, you know, put, you know, make it into 4 boxes. But you start with, you got to start with the why, okay? And I, you can notice page 1 and then 2 and then 4 and then 3, and there's a reason for that. Page 1 is your why, okay? You have to have a high enough value on why to move the needle. You have to have a high enough value. If you don't have a high enough value on changing the behavior, it's never going to change. So you have to look at your Manatech business, high enough value. Well, you know what? If I change my behavior, I could be a presidential director making 4,000, you know, bronze, making 6 to 8, you know, silver, making 10,000 a month. Would that change your life? Do you have a high enough value of being financially secure for your family, being able to then create, right, design your life the way you want it designed? Then, you know what? If you have a high enough value on that, then you'll be able to change the behavior. You'll be able to move the needle. Okay? So why to change it talks about what's important to you. What's your value? So in the exercise he did on stage, he had a snake, a live snake. And he just kind of walked through the audience, and he immediately found somebody that was freaked out over snakes, right? Now, what causes you to be freaked out over snakes? It's a phobia. Probably happened between the ages of 1 and 5. It's something you created. You had an emotional reaction to it, and guess what? You made it mean something in your life. Snakes are dangerous. They're going to bite me. They could kill me, blah, 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 right? I, on the other hand, was having a lot of joy in the audience because I grew up with pet snakes. I love snakes. I grew up in the woods. We didn't have any money, so every day they'd send the 4 kids out to go play in the woods. And we go, you know, a mile away in this big, huge woods around the, it was, and we go into the swamps. We'd come home with frogs and snakes and even a squirrel one time caught. And we had so much fun as kids. But wildlife to me, so snakes, me and snakes, we were, in fact, I even took a pet snake to school one day. Almost got thrown out of grade school, but I mean, you know, that's, so I know a little off base, but you can see the different responses. Was there any difference between my snakes and the snake that he had there? No. I mean, he didn't bring a boa constrictor, you know, anyway. So he had this snake and this guy freaked out. So he grabbed this guy and put him on stage and he said, okay, so what would it mean to you? What's your why? Why would you want to release this fear of this snake? Why would you want to release that? And they came to the conclusion, it will give me more control over my mind and my emotions. Because right now the snake is controlling his emotions. You're giving a snake control of your emotions. Doesn't that sound ridiculous? Yeah, it does. He didn't say that, I'm just telling you that. But I mean, it sounds. So we really have to look for things that, where am I going to have more hope in my life and more control over my life and more control over my mental state and my emotions? If a snake is causing you this, then it's a phobia you have that's controlling you, and it might be controlling you in 100 other ways because you're establishing fears. You're seeing a fear that developed maybe from 0 to 5 that you never realized was there. But some people go, well, I'll just stay away from snakes. Well, then you're agreeing to live with a phobia the rest of your life. So he said, so it's important that we have control. Wouldn't you want more control over your mind and emotions? So if you are phobic about something, by overcoming it, you're going to have more control over your mind and emotions. So then he talks about, okay, so what would be empowering beliefs that you could have about the snake or about whatever you're interacting with in your life? So what are empowering beliefs? And again, this is an example. And he said, well, if the snake didn't bother me, I'd be more in control. I would feel I don't need to run from this. It won't bite me. In fact, it's no problem. Those are empowering beliefs that will empower you and create a greater sense of I'm in control. No, nothing controls my emotions. And he said, feelings change last. Your feelings will change last. You have to change your belief system, start building or focusing on a belief system, and your feelings change last. Because those feelings came from something deep-seated in you for years and years that you've probably carried forward. He says, when your feelings are not in harmony with your goals, you've got to learn to ignore your feelings because you choose your feelings. until eventually the feelings don't arise. When we give feelings that we have, our emotions, our feelings, all the power over us, we create disasters in our life. We give up on our success. Just like when you get out of bed, how many, give a perfect example. You guys get out of bed in the morning, you're going to set to do your manatech business, and you go, well, I don't feel like it today. Wow. How many of you have said that? How many of you say that almost every day? It's what's holding you back. Is that feeling about not doing manatech today in harmony with your goals? Absolutely not. But what do we give into? Emotionally impacted decisions. Our feeling is what we give it to. And thus we don't succeed, and then we blame manatech for ABC, and all of a sudden we're not successful. Right? Watch out for those feelings. Watch out. When you hear that, when you hear yourself, your little brain doing that to your subconscious saying that, or your conscious state telling you that, you want to go, stop it. That's your favorite word. Write it down, everybody. Stop it. Just stop it. Start using that. It's a great two words that can totally change your life. Stop it. Put it up in your board. Stop it. So, you know, stay away from it. Because the reality is our nervous system, our imagination and reality, our nervous system does not distinguish between imagination and reality. So whatever we imagine becomes our reality, our nervous system. So we get nervous around a snake, right? Reality is snake can never hurt you, can't bite you, can't do anything. But you know what? For this guy, the snake didn't matter. His imagination was what? Was controlling his nervous system. So reality versus that. So empowering beliefs. So you got to be really clear and you got to recite your empowering beliefs. I can do this. That's why some people write affirmations. They go, I can do this. Network marketing is awesome. I love to impact people's lives. We make belief statements, empowering, and we do them over and over. And we don't allow our feelings, our emotions to override our empowering beliefs. Limiting beliefs that we have are what? Those are the things that cause us to act and not create results, right? Okay? And you need to find what those are. And when this guy first looked at the snake, it was like, I have to run. Hey, see a snake, I have to run. It will bite me. It will. So he make a list of what those are. And this is just a situation about a snake. You can do this about anything. Limiting belief could be, oh, nobody likes me. They hate network marketing. Rejection is overwhelming, blah, blah, blah. We have all these limiting beliefs. We walk into an environment, we go, oh, I don't see anyone here that would possibly want to do manatech. Oh, that person's too smart, and I'm not smart enough to interact with them, so I'm not going to talk to them. I mean, you notice the limiting beliefs we have around network marketing. You've got a zillion of them. You've built them up over years. They're all hooey-pooey, but somehow you've captured them. If some of you ask just today, write down all your limiting beliefs about doing your network marketing business. Make a list of them. And then on the other side, what are empowering beliefs, right? Because your limiting beliefs are the things that are holding you back. We're programmed to be a slave to our feelings. If it doesn't feel good or feel right, we don't do it. Again, getting back to those first 5 years of our life, we are all about feelings, all about emotions. So today we have this concept running our life that if we feel something emotionally, we don't do it because we're a liar if we don't respond to our emotions. We're lying. Instead of, oh my gosh, where did that thing come from? You don't have to know where it came from. You just have to know it's not empowering you, right? And you have to be able to get rid of it. So you want to overcome the limiting beliefs. And then, you know, after he went through this exercise, it was phenomenal. He went through this exercise with the guy. By the time he was done with the guy on stage, the guy was holding the stake, and it was amazing. And he was totally freaked out. He couldn't even let the guy bring the box towards close to him, where the snake was locked in a box, and he couldn't even let that happen. And within 20 minutes, and he said he could have done it within 5, but he wanted to teach us a lot of lessons. That guy was holding the snake, and the snake was curling around his arm and up his arm and on his hand and all this stuff. It was amazing. So people, don't take this. What did it create for him after he had this breakthrough and he didn't let that 5-year-old self, and he didn't have to make emotionally, right? He didn't get stuck in his EIDs, He was not allowing his feelings and his emotions to control him because he got logical. He understood. He understood that this was limiting him and not giving him control over his own mind and his own emotions, and that was more important to him. So his goal was more important than his feelings were in that moment, and he was going to allow himself to shift. And that's what created his incredible. And some of the language that the guy used, Gary used with him to get him overcome, he was saying, he first got him to use languaging. Our language, change your language. No problem, no problem. Let's say you have a feeling not to go out and market, share with people today around Manatech. You get and change your language. You go, oh my gosh, no problem. I can do this. I'm very capable. Sometimes you got to talk yourself into it, right? We have to use language that's positive. We need to smile. We need to talk about, you know, when we think about going out and sharing with people at the mall today, we need to smile. Smile about it. It changes your whole disposition. Just a smile changes your whole body. Did you know that? Endorphins are thrown off because you're smiling. You can be unhappy about something and just put a grin on your face and it changes you internally. It's a chemical change in the body. Okay? And Gary even looked at the guy. He was like, okay, we're going to talk about the stake. He says, I'm about to give you $1 million. He asked him to say the words, no problem. You're going to hold the snake. And the guy goes, no problem. And he goes, I'm going to give you $1 million. The guy goes, no problem. He totally changed the way he said, no problem, for the $1 million. He says, okay, so that's what you want with the snake as well. You want why? And you go back and you keep reiterating what? You keep reiterating, why do I need to change? Why? Why? The why. He kept going back and saying, why? I want control over my mind and my emotions. So he had him physically actually change his positioning in his seat and he all these things. And then, again, as he finally got there, he went from a 1 to a 10 in his level of comfort with the snake. Pretty amazing. So the snake is just an example. We all have snakes, lots of them. We have snakes all around our network marketing experience. So uncover that. But be really clear, right? We want to be belief and value driven. We don't want to give in to our feelings and our emotions, which really, because we know that they don't know the difference between reality and imagination, and that's what's triggering them, we're sitting back and allowing our lives to be not where they could be because we're living our lives based on emotionally impacted decisions. So hopefully you guys get this. Any questions, any comments from anyone in the audience today? All right, guys, go out there. And let go. Take charge. Get clarity around your values, what's most important to you, and allow yourself to live in those values as much time every day as you possibly can. And that's where you're going to find your greatest joy and your greatest accomplishment. And release the whole concept of making decisions, emotionally, right, impacted decisions. Okay, everybody, have a great week. We'll talk again soon. Bye.